Brendan McManus, you're an Irish Jesuit who wrote the book Redemption Road, Grieving Along the Camino. You were grieving for your brother, Donal. Tell me about Donal.
He was this lovely guy, very talented and gifted, and he was working as a farmer for many years, and he worked on a building site, but he actually had a PhD in construction engineering, and obviously he'd suffered from a bit of depression, so we were a bit concerned about him, and he was going downhill a little bit, and eventually he'd ended up in the worst thing for any family, ended up in suicide. So it was trying to pick up the pieces after that.
Did you have any idea that he was going so low? Did the family have any idea?
We never ever thought that it would get to that point. I think that was the worst thing we thought of. It was obvious things were not getting better, though. Things were getting worse, you know. And he was going downhill, as I say. He was disintegrating, and he was living on his own. Didn't have much support. He wasn't doing very much. He was just kind of struggling along.
It must be an awful thing for any family to have to go through.
I think it is. I think it's the worst thing for any family, because it's the shock. It's the out of the blue thing. There's a certain amount of violence with that. You know, there's a certain amount of not being engaged with the rest of the family and taking this particular route. So, I mean, I think it's a terrible thing. I mean, I don't think we'll ever really get over that. And it'll take a long time.
What age was your brother?
So he was 41 when that happened. Thankfully, he wasn't married. There was no children involved in that. So that was a small blessing, but it was a huge thing for any family to take on.
Did you get speaking to him long before his death?
Sure, I had spoken to him before I left for that holiday, you know, and I had a really good conversation with him. Often people remember the last thing they said to people. So fortunately, I had a really good conversation with him. And I think I had been very close to him, and I'd try to support him all the way along. So we'd always been close. We'd always been able to talk about things. So, so then it leaves you in a really difficult position. So that's what we had to deal with then as a family and as individuals.
What is the hardest part of when that happens to you? What age were you at the time?
I was just 2 years older than him. I was 43. For me, it was as a Jesuit, my particular role in the family means that I'm the eldest as well. That means that I have to kind of pull things together. So I'm the facilitator and I'm the priest doing the funeral. So that makes it difficult then, because you have to put your grief on hold while all this is happening. So that's what obviously brought me on to this thing about the book and about the Camino. In the book, I talk about a song that was played at a retreat. The song's called How Can I Protect You in This Crazy World by Aslan, this band from Ireland. So I'm hearing this song and I'm getting very emotional, because it's just tapping straight into this issue. How can I protect my brother in this crazy world where things are going downhill and things are not working out? I'm aware of this. I'm aware that there's stuff going on here, even though I have been to, you know, for counselling, and I've talked a lot about it. And I've also been to the suicide support group, Console, in Dublin. I've been with them, and that was excellent, really, really helpful, beyond anything else I've ever come across, because all similar people in a similar situation talking about this awful event and trying to make sense of it and trying to move through it.
And did you feel guilty if that song struck you? How can I protect you in this crazy world? Did you feel you didn't protect your brother, and if that was your role?
Oh, well, I think obviously I had done everything that I could, you know. I mean, from that point of view. But the thing about suicide is that it has this ability to bring up a lot of guilt about, oh my God, I should have done more, you know. Totally unreasonable. But you still have to deal with it, you know. So there definitely was elements of guilt in that. There was elements of maybe anger about what happened. And then there's the loss itself, just the loss of someone, that mourning over someone that you have loved and being really close to and being through a lot of things together.
Do you be angry at the person? I mean, is that awkward too? Does that happen?
Exactly. That's part of it, you know. I think you'd be angry at the person for doing that to the family, to your relationship, to just the whole thing, you know, especially the thing about not leaving you any choice. It just leaves you there, stuck with the whole thing. There's nobody you can talk to. There's no closure, nothing else. You have to get on with it yourself, you know. So those are some of the reasons why I was really strongly looking for something that would help me to get through this, to move out, move beyond just the getting by, the surviving kind of mindset. Normally you would have some kind of closure with a normal death, even with old age, obviously. You have this chance to say goodbye to the person, to have those words and to say what's in your heart and to hear from the other person where they are. And then all of a sudden all that is taken away and you are left with nothing. You know, you're left totally high and dry with no closure, no chance to talk to them, no chance to say goodbye. You know, and it's very difficult, very emotionally upsetting and it's very hurtful in a lot of ways, you know. And this sounds a bit odd, but the anger is against God, a lot of it. Like, anger, like, why did you let this happen, you know? And how did you not see this coming? And why did my brother not get the breaks that a lot of other people have got? Like, you don't have to end up in suicide with those kind of issues. So then as a priest, you're left in a very difficult position because you've got a faith crisis on top of all the grieving. And that is a really serious issue. Like, you can't really function then in integrity as a priest. So looking for an answer to that issue, that's one of the big issues that I walked the Camino, trying to find out what is God saying to me here and trying to get the space and the quiet to hear some kind of answer to that, and also to express some of the anger, the frustration, the doubt and the guilt, the grieving that's involved in that.
So if you were talking to people today, because that was how many years ago now?
That was 3 years ago.
And do you feel, the proof of the pudding is in the time, you are well today and you feel that that burden has, the lifting is done, it's not going to have to happen again?
That's true. It's been almost like my life before, my life after that event. It was extraordinary, you know, the grace that I got, or whatever way you want to formulate that, the release that I got, has allowed me to be free, you know, allowed me to let go of all that and to be in a different space. And then obviously to be able to write the book as well, I think, is a big thing.
Yeah, why did you write it? Did you want other people to share in your hope?
Yeah, some of it was to relate what happened to me, obviously that journey. But a lot of it was to do with to try to help other people. And I actually have a part in the book. I have two or three pages right at the end which tries to summarize what is the process there that I went through, you know. Like, how would you replicate that? How would you put that together? How would you help other people? Because I think obviously a lot of people are in the same situation with grief, especially in relation to suicide, and wondering how could we move on, you know, how could we get rid of this burden again. So I was trying to formulate it for those people as well, trying to put it together.
So what is that? Because obviously, yes, a lot of people are not going to be able to have the time or the opportunity or the money even to do a 500-mile Camino. So what are you saying?
Yeah, so I'm saying there are certain elements here that we need to find, and I think we can be very flexible about how we do that. So obviously the starting point is that the symbol that I had. And I think everybody has that symbol, you know, everybody has something that they hold on to and it's really special and that they want to do something with that.
So your symbol was a T-shirt?
My symbol was a T-shirt. But then I think you need some journey to go on, you know. It doesn't even have to be a physical journey. It doesn't have to be a walking journey, for example. But it could be a journey to a special place, like a place of pilgrimage, which is what I did. And some people cycle, some people go in a car, some people walk, some people go in a boat or whatever. But the intentionality, I think, is the key thing. Going to some place with this intention. And then when you get there, you need some kind of ritual, which involves the symbol, you know. So for me, it was burning the symbol, burning my brother's T-shirt. But for other people, it might be, you know, reverencing this person that you've missed. It might be lighting a candle, for example. It might be, you know, letting go, taking off an overcoat, for example, that represents the burden. But it's a mixture of those elements to get to that place of freedom, I think. And obviously there's a whole spiritual dimension to that. Trying to read what God is saying is the key thing here. So the first chapter in the book I call Desire, and that's about trying to figure out what is it that I need to do and trying to recognize what that is. The other element I forgot to mention was after I had burned the t-shirt and I'm walking back from the peninsula to the town, and I spotted a beach down below. So I walked down to the beach and I had a swim, and that was powerful for me. That was obviously the whole symbolism of purification and washing and letting go.
But rebirth,
exactly. But that helped enormously as well. I put that in that summary in the book as well. Some kind of simple ritual like that as well that can help.
So people can do that themselves, you would feel, and they take their symbol of their loved one who has died by suicide or even died, and go somewhere, no matter how small a step it is, with that symbol and do something that is for them a letting go. And I suppose to do that, we trust in something bigger, even if it's just nature itself.
Yeah. No, exactly. And I think there's a bit of handing over here that has to be done, handing over to God. The intentionality is really important. And also, I know St. Ignatius says that increases the value of your prayer, your intention, whenever you tie it into a physical thing. So trying to get all those things lined up, you know, about your intention, about your fast, about going somewhere, bringing the symbol, having the ritual. And that this may take a while, obviously, to try to get those elements right, you know, that and trusting in God. I mean, that the whole thing depends on some kind of divine element to that all as well.
So you've written the book. It's published by?
So it's published by Orpin Press here in Dublin.
And is available in all good bookshops?
Available in all good bookshops. And it's available online. There's also a Kindle electronic version as well. It's in most good bookshops here in the stores. I've seen it in Easton's downtown.
And you have your own website with photographs, lots, because you are a photographer as well, and that was a big part of your walk.
That's right. I took 500 photographs on the walk, and I've put the best of them on the website. So there's about 80 or 90 photographs, and some of them great shots of people who met, the churches, just the little walkways, the mud on the roads, all these lovely little things. They're in that website is Redemption Road Camino, all one word, and have a look at it.
Do you work with Console now yourself?
I've been working very closely with them because I fundraised for them. By doing the Camino, I also raised 5,000 for them.
So and also funds from your book are going to Console.
And exactly that. So now the funds from the book is another way of me fundraising for Console, because I had been in one of their groups. So I'm very committed to them, very committed to their cause, to their raising money for them.
Brendan McManus, we wish you all the very best, and thank you for joining us today.